That's right. Ah, yes.
Let's get some runs.
How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So you should call in right now if you've got some baseball cards or any sports memorabilia that you're curious about how much it's worth. You can give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. The phone lines are open. Michael Osaki is my guest. He's a sports memorabilia appraiser. He's a speaker. He contributes to Parade Magazine, and his website is baseballintheattic.com. And we always get Michael in here a couple, three times a year to help you guys out in figuring out how much some of your stuff is worth. And so Michael is here. Hey, Michael.
Nick.
How are you?
Great. Great to be here again.
Good. Good to see you. Tell everybody about baseballintheattic.com.
Baseballintheattic.com is my website, and you can go there and you can do a couple things. You can take a look at some of the pictures of my own private collection. You can read some articles. I write for Parade Magazine, Covells.com, which is an antique website. Kiplinger's I contribute to, written some articles for the New York Times. Additionally, if you're interested on appraisals or if you have something to sell, you can fill out a contact form on my website, or you could call 312-379-9090.
All right. And you can call here right now or text right now. We got some texts coming in and phone calls are coming in. If you have any sports memorabilia, we would love to hear from you, and Michael will help you out. 312-981-7200. Again, tell everybody how you got started in this.
Got started 20 years ago, Nick, 1997. Mm-hmm. And for my birthday, my grandfather bought me a shoebox full of very old baseball cards. And the reason why he did that is because at that point, I was jumping on my bicycle and going to the local pharmacy and grocery stores, but I was buying all the new stuff, all the new packs of the football and the basketball and the baseball.
Yeah.
But that one day for my birthday, 97, when I opened up the shoebox inside, the cards were extremely old. And it really got me on the hunt of trying to find more of these things.
Yeah. Like,
but also, I learned about the history associated with all of these ball players, the stats on the back, and it was quite fascinating. And that's kind of how it got started, really, 20 years ago.
Yeah, you've been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
and doing appraising and stuff like that. And you still collect, correct?
I still do collect. Yeah, every time, every once in a while, when someone has something interesting that I don't have in my personal collection and that I want to buy, I will spring on it and put it into my personal collection.
All right, cool. Well, we already got some texts coming in, and the phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. If you've got sports memorabilia or anything and you're wondering what it's worth. Now, again, you can do a full appraisal when you actually see the item itself. This is just kind of a ballpark figure for people to figure out how much it's worth.
Yes, exactly. It's always best for me to see what people have. Like, for example, sometimes someone will call me or email me, hey, I have this, how much is it worth? And I can give them a ballpark value, but it's always best to see pictures of it.
Right. And you can post online on your Facebook or on your page, right, your website.
Yep, and I'm on Facebook as well.
Okay. 224 area code says, I have a football signed by almost all the players and Coach Ditka from the 85 Bears. The only signature that's missing is Wilbur Marshall. Would it be worth more if it had everybody?
Yes. However, the good news is he does have Walter Payton, right? Because if he didn't, he would have said, I don't have Payton. And that really is a big one. That's a key one. Some other guys are quite common, like Jim McMahon. But in this particular instance.
And it's the 85 year, so.
Yeah. And again, depending upon how the strength of the signatures, you're looking at least $500.
Oh. Wow, at least 500. There you go. Jay in Ohio says, how much is a Moses Malone 76-77 Topps basketball blank back card worth?
So Moses Malone, his cards are not worth a lot of money. However, in this particular case, it's a blank back card. So
what's a blank back card for people who don't know?
Okay.
Nothing written on, no stats on the back?
Exactly,
right now?
Exactly. And a lot of times, those cards are much more rare than the regular version that had the stats on the back.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, because it's Moses Malone and it's mid-70s, it doesn't carry the cachet that a blank back would from the 1950s or 1960s.
Mm.
So in this case, you're only looking at probably $5 or $6.
Okay. Joel says, hey, Nick, I'm a listener from McAllen, Texas. I'd like to know what a collection of baseball stickers are worth. I believe they are from the late 70s and 80s. Never opened, features over 600 stickers. baseball stickers.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure what year or even kind of what Allen in Texas has.
It says late 70s or 80s.
Okay. So a couple things happened around that time, actually around mid-70s. One, these things started to become mass-produced. And the second thing that happened is everyone started hoarding them because they realized, hey, these things now have value. So anything you have in that time period in the late 70s and the 80s generally doesn't have much of any value because there's just so much of them out there. Mm. So in this particular case, even though this gentleman may have a full complete set, which is great and cool, from a monetary standpoint, it's doesn't have much, maybe a couple bucks.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys want to jump in here? It's 312-981-7200. We'll also talk to Michael about we had a recent trip to Asia. We can talk about a little bit about that. OJ might get paroled today. And the reason why he's in jail involves sports memorabilia. And so we'll talk about that as well. And take your calls and your questions about sports memorabilia. 312-981-7200. We got a break here now for the news, though, right here on WGN.
Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Get that pennant fame. Don't forget, Chicago Cubs, we do care for you. And you bet, Chicago Cubs,
yeah,
we are loyal to.
All right, welcome back. Double, triple. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. The great Marie Fuller with Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. My favorite Chicago Cubs song ever. Rick Geezer discovered that song. It was recorded by a woman named Marie Fuller during the 1969 campaign. And it's awesome. I like it better than Go, Cubs, Go. And I'm not lying there. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Michael Osaki is with us. He's a sports memorabilia appraiser, speaker, contributor to Parade Magazine, and his website is baseballintheattic.com. And we got a couple of lines open if you want to jump in with your questions here, if you've got some sports memorabilia laying around and you're curious about it. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, talk and text, and Michael will help you out and appraise the stuff that you have. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some of the recent stuff that you wrote for Parade before we get to the phones and answer some questions. You talked about someone who was working for the Boston Red Sox from childhood. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this man is obviously a lot older now than what he used to work for the Red Sox. And he contacted me through my Facebook page some time ago and just sharing his experiences. Hey, Michael, I used to work for the Boston Red Sox. He grew up a couple blocks away from Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to talk to him. He worked for the grounds crew. And the way he got the job is he essentially wrote a letter to the then general manager of the Red Sox. And the general manager wrote back to this kid at the time, I think he was 13 or 14, and said, you have two options. You can go work for the grounds crew, or you can work at the concession stand. And this gentleman said to himself, well, heck, like, I want to work at the grounds crew. I don't want to sell popcorn or Coke products.
Yeah.
And so he took this letter and went to the guy that oversaw the grounds crew and said, okay, you can start. And, he worked there for a couple years, and eventually he brought a couple of his friends also to work with him. And it was just a lovely, experience for him and some of the players he got to sit next to on the bench, and quite the experience. And now as I'm thinking about what it's like today in 2017, just very different from, back in the 1960s and 1970s.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's cool. That's very, very cool. I mean, to get to work at Fenway, that's a dream if you're a baseball fan, especially if you're from Boston.
Yep.
It's amazing. Okay, we got some people who are calling in. Let's see if we can help them out. Here's Jerry on WGN. Hey, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, fellas. I've got the real deal. None of this 1970s stuff. I go back. I got baseball cards from the originals from 1951, Bowman or Topps. I can't remember. And I have football cards from back then. I have the entire sets. Unfortunately, I collected football cards. And I have the entire sets of football cards from back then, two sets. I mean, in the baseball cards, I've got Willie Mays, I've got Ted Williams, maybe Mickey Mantle, and all them. We used to trade them. They're not in pristine condition. They're in good condition, but they've been used, you know. So I was just wondering.
Yep. So what you would have is definitely, if you have 51, they have to be Bowman because Topps did not start manufacturing cards until 1952.
Mm. Okay.
And I'll get to...
I might have 1952 also, but I definitely have 51.
Yeah. In fact, something interesting happened in 51 and 52. So Topps, in 51, Bowman Baseball Card Company was the reigning king manufacturer of cards, sporting cards, both sports. Mm-hmm. But Topps was trying to figure out how to get their footprint and gain market share. And what they did was two things in 52. One, they increased the size dimensions of the cards because they thought the kids wanted larger cards. They also, when they put out their sets, they made them larger in numbers, right? So all of a sudden, 52, you have a 407-card set in the baseball set. And so they actually were correct because Bowman only lasted until 1955, and then they went out of business. As far as, Jerry, your question about Ted Williams and Mickey Mantle, Mickey Mantle's first came up into the Yankees in 51, but really his true rookie card is considered 1952. That one is worth much more than the 51 Bowman counterpart. However, the 51 Bowman Mantle, and I know it's probably in rough condition, you're looking at least $2,000 just for that one card,
wow.
Mickey Mantle.
Well, I have Ted Williams and Willie Mays also.
51 Bowman was also Willie Mays' rookie card. Now, that's not worth as much as the Mickey Mantle, but it could be worth at least $500.
Hey, so you got some good cards there, Jerry.
Well, they're from when I was a little kid. I collected all those old cards, and I still got them sitting around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, Jerry, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Wow, $2,000 for one card.
Yeah.
Wow.
That Mickey Mantle card is really going through the roof right now. There's some foreign investors. I was going to say Asian investors, and I was just in Asia. But are really looking at this sports card market as an asset class. And they're trying to, besides buying real estate and investing in companies, they're like, what else? And buying fine art, what else can we put our money into that may appreciate over time? And they're using baseball cards as a venue to do so.
Wow. All right, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You got some sports memorabilia and you're curious about what it might be worth. Michael Osaki is here, 312-981-7200. Let's see. 219 area code says, I have some leather helmets from the 20s. Are they worth anything?
Yes, they are, but unfortunately not as much as I would think or you would think. When I think of leather helmets from the 20s, wow, those are rare, and they are, and they're hard to find, yes. But for whatever reason, they don't carry a ton of value. Maybe each one is $30, $40, maybe $50.
Okay. All right, and here is Paul on WGN. Hey, Paul.
Oh, hey, Nick. Hey, Mike. How are you?
All right.
So I got this at a silent auction. It's a Brian Urlacher 2000 Defensive Rookie of the Year Rydell helmet in a plexiglass case. It's got the certificate of authenticity. It's number 11 out of 54. And there's a picture of Urlacher, a young Brian Urlacher, signing the helmet. So I just was curious what that today would be worth.
Question, Paul, is this a mini helmet or a full size helmet?
No, it's full size. It's a full size Rydell.
Okay. Full size
helmet.
Okay, full size you're looking at $250.
There you go.
I lost money. I paid $600 at the silent auction.
Big $600. Wow. Wow.
I was being very charitable.
Yeah. There you go. It was for charity. It was for charity, Paul. There you go. Yeah. All right, Paul, thanks.
Well, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, see you.
I love the good news I wanted to hear.
Okay. All right, Paul, take care. 312-981-7200. You also have a piece that you wrote in Parade about Pawn Stars and rare autographs and how to spot the forgeries, because whenever we have you on, we talk about it, and people say that it's signed by this, it's signed. How do you spot forgeries? Is it hard to do?
Some are easy and some are difficult. The first thing really to look at when inspecting an autograph is this ink live or is it not live, right? So a lot of times there will be stamped signatures. Mm. For example, back at Wrigley Field, and not just at Wrigley Field, but all stadiums across the country in the 60s and 70s, if you go to the team store, they would have team-signed baseballs, but they were almost always stamped.
Yeah.
So you have 25 players on the balls. And so today I see a lot of Cubs balls from that era, and they have Ernie Banks, and it's, oh, my God, Ernie Banks is a lot of money. But they're all stamped.
Right.
And the ink's not live. So that's the first thing that I always have to look at. First, is it live or not? And then if it is live, okay, are some of the characteristics representative of a real authentic signature? So slant flow, pen pressure, the space between the letters, the height of – so there's all these different things, about a dozen of them that I look for every single autograph that I look at.
Wow. It's a lot to do. And the piece that you wrote with the Pawn Stars, tell me about a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Pawn Stars, I first actually met them many, many, many years ago in Las Vegas. I think this was maybe the second season. This was when a lot of the guys were a lot fatter than they currently are. and, you know, from time to time, they would call me, hey, you know, I have this. You know, how much is this worth? And that's kind of how our friendship started way back then. But now today they actually have a regular expert on the show who looks at autographs. And I interviewed him and we talked about kind of the same questions you're asking about.
Right, about forgeries and bad signatures
and things like that. There was an article in Forbes magazine a couple years ago. I did not write it, but it said that over 75% of all total known signatures are fake.
Wow.
That only means 25% are real. I personally, Nick, don't know what the exact number is, but I do know that it is over 50%, 50, of fake.
A fake, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not really surprising, though, I don't think. So, all right, hang on, Michael. Okay, Michael Osaki is with us, sports memorabilia appraiser. He's going to be here for a few more minutes if you want to jump in. The website is baseballintheattic.com. You can call or text us with your question about memorabilia, 312-981-7200, and we'll return after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up after the news, the great Rich Coase, also known as Sven Gulli, is going to join us. We're going to talk about his show and some other really cool stuff and his upcoming appearance at Flashback Weekend Chicago Horror Con, of which I will be as well, August 4th through the 6th at the Crown Plaza O'Hare. And we'll talk about that, his appearance there, and much more. So Rich Coase, the great Sven Gulli, will be on with us after 3 o'clock. And then we're going to go through the playlist of banned wedding songs, and we'll give you all the details on that. We'll hear some of those. But right now, Michael Osaki is with me. He's a sports memorabilia appraiser. You can check out baseballintheattic.com. Michael, welcome back.
Yep, thanks, Dick.
All right, we got a ton of texts here, and we got some calls, so let's get to as many as we can. John is on WGN. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning. What I have is some 1969-70 Topps basketball cards. I have a Lou Alcindor rookie card. I have Butterbean Love. I'm trying to get some Bulls in here, find some Bulls players. I know Guy Rogers, he was with the Bucks at the time, but I've got him. And then I've got the usuals, Jerry West, John Havlicek, Bill Bradley. I have Wilt Chamberlain, Billy Cunningham. Maybe I got Pat Riley in here in his Portland Trailblazer uniform. I'm just wondering if they're worth anything or just hold on to them for old time's sake.
Sure. Sounds like you got a lot of cards there. I don't know if you have a complete set, but the...
No. They're just something I dug up out of my parents' house after they passed away. My brother actually did, and I'd like to look at this stuff. So he gave it to me, and I heard you were on tonight, so I thought I'd give you a call.
The Alcindor, $100. The Havlicek, maybe $30, $35. I forgot. I think you said Chamberlain?
Chamberlain. I've got, like I said, I've got Walt Frazier. I've got
so I would say
West, Jerry West.
Chamberlain.
Harry Hawkins, even.
So I would say Chamberlain, $150. As I said, the Alcindor 100, and those two are going to be the most valuable cards in that set. The West is, you know, way down there, maybe $20, $30.
Okay.
All right. Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, John. All right. Let's see. 773 area code says, I have a complete set of Mickey Mantle refractor cars put out by Topps from 1997.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because those cars are highly collectible because it's Mickey Mantle, and that's actually one of the reasons why they put them out in 1996. But those cards today don't have any value. Well, I shouldn't say that. This set is maybe $15-$20.
Okay. The 779 area code says, is a Topps Ryne Sandberg rookie card worth any money?
Only if it's in pristine condition. If it's not, you know, even if one of the corners is a little rounded, $10 or $15.
Okay. Jimmy from Romeoville says, is the Michael Jordan baseball card set from the Birmingham Barons worth anything?
No.
No? Okay. There wasn't much about the baseball Michael Jordan that was worth anything
no.
either. Here's Tim on WGN. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Hi.
My belated happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
My sons, the four of them, have accumulated in their youth 6 Michael Jordan rookie cards.
Okay.
And they've been kept in a safe deposit box. I called them idiots when they bought them X amount of years ago, and I just wonder what the value is.
Okay, so you got 4 sons, 6 Michael Jordan rookie cards. So it sounds like one or two of the sons has more than one. As far as the value of these cards, you have to be extremely careful because there are so many reprints and non-authentic, non-original Michael Jordan rookie cards out there. I'll give you the pricing for an authentic rookie card. However, I can't be certain that what you have or what your sons have are authentic or not because they're just...
I understand completely.
So a Michael Jordan rookie card and... About 20 years ago, there was what we call third-party grading that came out. So grading companies would essentially grade your cards and tell you from a scale of 1 to 10, 1, it's horrible, and 10, it's the best, what it's worth. The values vary greatly. So on a 10, again, pristine, mint condition, perfect, that card, Michael Jordan rookie card, will sell for $20,000.
Now, you're kidding.
Now, let me say this. In a 9, which looks the same as a 10, right, to the naked eye, 10 is $20,000. A 9 is $3,000 to $4,000. And an 8 that looks just the same as about a 9 or a 10, that's about $1,500. So
it varies wildly.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. Wow.
Well, they got them. My oldest son is 45, and he got them when he was 10.
Okay. So he got them, you know, 30 years ago.
Right.
But I hope that helped.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tim. It's interesting how some of these vary so much. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the kids who used to take their baseball cards when they were kids and stick them in the spokes of the bike now are probably like really upset.
They're very upset. I hear from those people a lot because I do public speaking and they'll come up to me after I speak. It's, Michael, you won't believe this. And I say, yes, I believe it because
yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is interesting. 847 area code says, I have a white t-shirt with Chicago on the front and number 23 on the back. It is signed by Michael Jordan, Devin Hester, Ryne Sandberg, and Chris Versteeg. It's all genuine. I was there when they signed it. Is that worth anything?
So I
that's
think
an interesting piece of memorabilia, though. That's pretty cool.
Interesting, unique. I would say
yeah.
One of a kind.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I'm sure this person that texted in has a really cool story about each one, right? How he
sure, of course.
How he or she got it and what they were like and what the day was like and
yeah.
yada, yada, yada. Unfortunately, the value greatly diminishes when you have a random hodgepodge there, right? If you think about a Michael Jordan, any signed anything, that's awesome. But then once you start adding, you know, a Devin Hester and all these others,
yeah.
There really is no market for that.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's not worth anything, I think that's pretty cool. That, you know,
it is cool.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty piece, pretty cool. 708 area code says a ball signed by the 2005 White Sox.
Yeah, that was worth a lot more back in 2005. So,
yeah.
I would say, you know, 6 to 12 months after they won, you could sell that ball for $1,000, $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Now today it's about $300.
Now, what about the 2016 Cubs stuff? Because I mean, there's just so much of it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there what would be the best and most, you know, valuable of the 2016 World Series Cubs stuff?
Well, a team signed anything would be pretty great.
Yeah.
However, Joe Maddon and Jake Arrieta are cautious signers. They hate signing, to be honest, and don't like doing it. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of teams sign items that don't have those two on them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get one with those two signers on it, that's pretty cool and pretty special.
Yeah.
As far as values, so you can get a team signed photo, a team signed baseball, a team signed bat, a team signed jersey.
Yeah.
The premium items, such as the jersey and the bat, are worth a lot more money than a baseball and like an 8x10 or 16x20 photo.
Okay. 847 area code says, I have a Babe Ruth autograph and an autograph book from the 40s. I can authenticate it because I have a picture of my grandmother with Babe Ruth, and the pic, my grandmother is holding the autograph book. She worked for the Red Cross during World War II, and Babe was doing a fundraiser with them.
That's pretty cool. And see, one of the reasons I do what I do is because of the stories, right?
Yeah,
Everything has a value, but then in this particular case, it's a story. There's a photo attached. The answer here is at least $2,000.
At least $2,000 for the autograph alone. 815 area code says, we have a never opened box of Topps football cards. Can't remember how many are in the box, about 100. Got it in the early 80s. Any value, or is it better to open it and see what's in it or leave it unopened?
There's going to be a little value there, maybe $50-$75. But in my personal opinion, I can have more fun by opening up the packs and seeing what's in them. A lot, you know what people do actually, Nick, today is they'll do like a Facebook live video of someone opening the pack and people look at it, 500 people, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, we're out of time, but if people want to get some appraising from you, again, give them all the information before you get out of here.
Sure. You can call me right now, actually, 312-379-9090, 312-379-9090, or email me, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at baseballintheattic.com. And, of course, my website is baseballintheattic.com. And please connect with me on Facebook.
There you go. And that he's all over the place. It's Michael Osaki. And you writing anything for Parade coming up?
I have a couple things in the works. I haven't quite flushed them out yet. I have one due a deadline at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
And so stay tuned.
All right. Michael, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming down,
thanks,
and thanks
Nick.
For helping out some
it's
of the
great.
Listeners.
Of course.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a break. We have the news coming up right after this.